All right, we are concluding tonight, as Brother Hike mentioned, the book of Acts. Man, it's been a great book to study, and very adventurous, and a lot of great things that we learned from this book here. Now, just give you a little bit of a review from chapter 27, which was about 2 weeks ago. We had Pastor Berzins preach last Thursday, and then the week before that, we were going through chapter 27. If you remember, in chapter 27, you had basically Paul was on the ship along with the other prisoners. They're being transferred over to Rome. He's going to appeal to Caesar, and they get caught in a storm. The ship basically is completely broken because of the storm, but every man's life is saved. And I'm amazed at how, as we study sometimes books in the Bible, how relevant it is to us, you know? Because if you think about it, you know, our church to a certain extent was physically destroyed, but you know what? Every man's life was saved. You know, nothing happened to the actual church itself. You know, the ship was broken. And you say, well, what happened after that? Well, if you remember, everyone's just kind of floating around in the ocean until they reached the island of Melita. And what are we doing right now? We're just kind of floating around, okay? You know, because we don't have a specific building to meet in right now, but it's all right. You know, every man's life is saved. We can still serve God. And so it's exciting how relevant this is to even our situation now, where, you know, you have the ship being destroyed and broken, but every man's life is saved. And, you know, sometimes you go through a tribulation, you go through a difficulty in your life, and the first thing you think about is like, man, why is this happening to me? Or when is this going to end? Or, you know, what is God doing here? Not really realizing that God actually has other plans. Okay, because here's the thing is Paul, along with the prisoners and those who are, you know, delivering them, their destination is Rome. That's where they want to go. Paul wants to go there because he wants to appeal to Caesar. He has business that he wants to do there. But this is not Rome. This is Melita. This is a different island. Basically, God has taken him off course for a specific reason. And we'll get into that in just a bit. Now, look at verse number one. First and foremost, we're going to see Paul's encounter with the venomous beast, or the serpent. In verse number one, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, okay, which, by the way, you know, a synonym for a bundle of sticks is a faggot, okay? Amen. Look it up, okay? When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So what do we see here? Well, we see that he takes this bundle of sticks, he throws them into the fire, and what comes out of that fire but a serpent? Now, how do we apply that to 2021? Well, when your pastor throws a bundle of sticks into the fire by preaching against them, you know what? You're going to have the enemy, which is the serpent, that old serpent, which is the devil, come out and try to attack us. Right? It's exactly what happens. You know, the bundle of sticks are made to be burned. We're explaining to people that they're meant to be burned. That's all they're good for. And yet what happens is that a viper comes out of that fire, you know, out of the pits of hell, and latches onto our church, latches onto me. And we see that happening. Look at verse number four. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So, you know, they see them like, oh, yeah, this is karma right here. You know, basically what they're saying. Yeah, this is Michael Johnson right here, okay? This barbarian, Michael Johnson, who literally went on Facebook and said that, you know, God is judging me for attacking men of God and all these things, and this is why it's happening to me. It's like, what are you, you act like an unsaved person. Oh, that's right, you're not saved. So we see some very superstitious people here and making this claim. Now, first and foremost, I've already made that application, but just know this is that anytime you kindle a bundle of sticks, you preach against the sodomites, you attack that which the world deems as being politically correct, or, you know, that which the world esteems, you know, mark it down, you're going to be attacked. Right. Now, here's the thing. Paul, he gets latched on by this viper. What does he do? He just shakes it off. He just, like, kind of shakes it off. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure it hurt, though. I'm pretty sure it was painful. I'm pretty sure it was not comfortable. He sunk in his teeth to his skin. It probably stung a little bit. It was probably a little inconvenient. He probably felt a little bit of pain, but you know what? He didn't die. Okay? And what this shows us is this, is that, you know, when we are serving God and we're doing that which is pleasing unto the Lord and Satan attacks us, you know what? Obviously, it's going to hurt a little bit. Obviously, it's going to be a little inconvenient. Obviously, it's going to be a little stressful. It's going to bother us a little bit. But at the end of the day, our lives shall be saved.
Amen.
Okay? At the end of the day, we can just shake it off, you know?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times Christians and pastors don't want to throw the bundle of sticks into the fire because they don't want a viper jumping out and biting them.
Right.
Yeah. They're too scared of the snake, the venomous, poisonous snake that's going to bite them. But here's the thing. You know, Paul's probably thinking, well, if it's my time to go, then it's my time to go.
Amen.
If the snake bites me and that venom surges through my veins and I die, then there we go. You know, life's over. There you go. I go to heaven.
Yep.
But he's thinking, I was like, well, I guess I'm not dying, so I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Amen.
And you know what? That's my attitude right now.
Right.
You know, if people want to kill me and they want to threaten me and blow up my church or do whatever they want, okay, well, if it's my time to go, then it's my time to go. But you know what? If that doesn't happen, then I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah. This is what everyone keeps asking me. All these reporters, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Now that, you know, your church is blown up, and are you going to tone it down? Are you? No.
Amen.
Why? If I can survive this, then, you know, I can probably survive a lot of things.
Amen.
And you know what? If God's the one, by the way, they didn't spare my life. God spared my life.
Amen. Right. Yep.
Because my life is in God's hands,
right.
And if God wants me to go today, then I'll go today. And look, folks, dying is not the worst thing that can happen to you if you're a Christian.
Amen.
It's actually the best thing that can happen
that's
to you.
Right.
For me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Amen.
That's why Paul's able to shake it off.
Amen.
Now, look, you know, you're going to have people like these, like these people in Melita, these barbarous people who are like, oh, yeah, this guy's, yeah, this bad thing's happening to him. He's a murderer. He's a criminal. Karma's getting in. What goes around comes around. You're attacking men of God. You know, this is what you get from preaching against this and preaching against these people, exposing these things. You're going to have people like that.
Yep.
Okay? And look, sometimes that is true, is it not?
Amen.
You know, sometimes God can judge you because you have sin in your life. You're doing something wrong. You know, he's not pleased with you. But you know what? After you've examined yourself, you examine your church, and you say, well, as far as I know, we're serving God. I don't have sin in my heart. I'm not harboring things. I'm not stealing from the offering plate. I'm not sleeping with prostitutes and doing cocaine or something like that. Well, I'm just doing the best that I can to serve God. Well, I guess God's not punishing me.
Amen.
He's removed the hedge of protection like he did to Job.
Amen.
In order to prove me, to refine me in the church, and to do a greater work.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And you know what? Let those people think that. Let the unsaved people think, oh, you got what you deserve. And you know what I'm thinking? I guess you're right.
Amen.
Because I guess what God wants me to deserve is rewards.
Amen. Yeah.
Rewards and honor from the Lord. And, you know, I'm just racking it up in the millennial reign right now.
Amen.
I mean, look, folks. In these days, there was no social media, there's no YouTube. So someone who reviled you literally had to do it like face to face. Now, because of social media, we can literally double up and rack up the rewards because you have people all around the world that can revile you on a comment section, on death threats here, and they're just like multiplying the rewards for you.
Amen.
So, you know what? If you're saying that that's what I deserve, then thank you. But we see that. So he latches onto him. These people are like, this is what he deserves. He's probably just a murderer. But you know, we need to block out those people who say things like that. You understand? Because obviously, unsaved people have no idea what they're talking about. They're unstable and unlearned, and they can wrest the scriptures a lot of the times. But here's the thing. When Christians say that, when people who are saved say that, I'm not talking about Michael Johnson. He's not saved. I'm talking about like when Christians who know the word of God say that, then there's a problem. Okay. Then you have a complete hypocrite. Then you have people who just don't know what they're talking about. And let me just say this. There's people, there's pastors who maybe I've gone back and forth with who we did not get along with. You know what I mean? Because we've had differences of opinion. Even those individuals have put the differences aside and contacted me and say, hey, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
The enemy's attacking you in your church. I'm praying for you. Our church is praying for you. Obviously, because they're saved men. They understand that these things are real.
Amen.
Right.
And look, folks, I mean, sometimes God allows us to get bit by a snake. You know, God allowed Job to be attacked and all his children died. He lost all his resources and his riches. And yet in the midst of all that, Job did not curse God in his heart, nor did he charge God foolishly. You know, he understood that God had a plan. He didn't understand what it was all going to be. He lost everything. But yet he understood God is still righteous. He's still just. You know, just let him do whatever he needs to do. Okay? Amen. And here's the thing. We should count it a privilege, the fact that God will allow Satan to attack us in such a way.
Amen.
And let me just remind you, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
That's right.
You just got to keep resisting. You know, sometimes you can only stand and just like take the fiery darts and the doubts and all these things and the attacks and the comments and the threats. Sometimes all you can do is stand. But you know what? That's the best thing that anybody can do.
Amen.
And just not move and say, I'm not going to change. I'm still going to do what I'm doing. Win souls, preach the word of God, have church under a tabernacle.
Amen.
You know, and that's it. But just remember is that God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job?
Amen.
You know what? To a certain extent, God is saying that about our church. Has thou considered First Works Baptist Church?
Amen.
You know? And look, folks, we're only 3 years into the church plant. Okay? You better buckle up because the next 3 years or 5 years, if this is happening at the very beginning of the existence of our church, who knows what's going to happen in the long run?
Amen.
Okay? But I've noticed that everything always comes like in 3.5 year increments for some reason, you know? In fact, I was just explaining to like some of the guys that years ago, when we were part of a church plant, we literally lost our church building 3.5 years into the church plant. Just like us, we lost our building 3.5 years into the church plant. The only difference is, the reason we lost it this time is because they blew up our church. That didn't necessarily happen before. Well, look at verse number 5. He says, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I mean, that's crazy right there. He's just like, into the fire, and he's just fine. Okay? Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore, referring to Paul, he said that he took pleasure in infirmities,
Amen.
In reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let me just say this, is that when you go through a trial like one that we're going through now, it's imperative, it's important that you shake off the serpent.
Amen.
You just shake it off. Why? Because we see that when he shakes it off, the barbarians, they're like, oh man, this guy, I guess he's like a righteous person, or they say to God or whatever. But obviously it catches the attention of people because they're expecting for you to just completely lose it.
Right.
They expect for you to just, they expect for our church to just completely disband,
yeah.
Have no unity whatsoever. Oh, this is going to stop them. We just blow up the church. And this is going to stop First Works Baptist Church. This will stop him from preaching. This will stop people from congregating. Folks, our church literally grew.
Amen.
Because of this.
Right, right.
Because the more they afflict them, the more they grew.
Amen.
But here's the thing. You need to shake it off.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. Doesn't mean it's not going to be uncomfortable. It just means you just have to endure the pain. You got to endure the sufferings, endure the inflictions, and do it. Because why? Well, obviously the reason we need to endure this time is because of the fact that, you know, God has a bigger plan. What is the bigger plan? What is the purpose of all this? Why did God allow this to happen to our church? I'll tell you why, so the message can go that much further.
Amen.
I was able to get on InfoWars and preach the gospel on InfoWars.
That's right. Amen.
And preach the word of God on InfoWars. And you know what? Hundreds of people heard that message.
Amen.
You know what God is concerned with? He can care less about our building.
Amen. Right.
He can care less about the building. He doesn't care about our stuff. He doesn't care about Eric's violin. He doesn't care about the piano. He doesn't care about the pulpit.
Amen.
Don't worry, we'll get you a new violin. He didn't care about those things. He only cares about souls.
Amen.
You know what? There's all. In order for us to reach a multitude of people, a price needs to be paid.
That's right.
Amen.
There's always a price that needs to be paid if we're going to reach a lot of people.
Amen.
Sometimes God has to offer you up.
Yep.
Sometimes he has to offer your possessions, your comfort, for the sake of the greater good.
Amen.
And you know what? Sometimes he even offers our own lives,
yeah,
for the greater good. Because you know, at the end of the day, it's not about us.
Amen.
It's about the Lord. Okay?
Right.
Look at verse number 6. So keep in mind, these barbarous people, they're just like, oh yeah, he's a murderer. This guy's wicked. But then look how fast they just changed their opinion on Paul. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So it's just like two extremes here.
Yep.
The guy is a murderer. He deserved this. Oh, he didn't die. Oh, yeah, that guy's a god. He's deity. But it shows you how unstable people can be.
Right. Yeah.
How easily persuaded they can be. That's why the LA Times and that queer who wrote that article about me can literally just completely lie on that article and just tell nothing but lies, no facts whatsoever, no journalistic integrity whatsoever.
Right.
And there's people out there that will believe it. Because people are easily persuaded. Now, again, people who have like a brain in their head, people who we actually want to reach are going to read that and be like, this is the stupidest article I've ever seen.
Amen.
This is exactly what the LA Times does.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And the people who want to believe that nonsense would have hated me before the LA Times or before the bombing.
Right. Yeah.
So who cares what they think?
Amen.
But people easily change their minds based upon a circumstance. It just shows you the nature of people. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. Now keep in mind, like, they're going to Rome and then they get caught up in this island here. They're wet, they're cold, they're uncomfortable, they don't have a ship. But God doesn't really care about that.
Amen.
You know what he cares about? He cares about the people on that island.
Amen.
So he's probably thinking, well, you know, you guys aren't gonna need this ship. I got something else prepared for you anyways, so let's just destroy it. Let's just save the parts enough that you can float to the island. And then he's going to run into a bunch of people there that he can do great miracles, preach the word of God to. That's what God cares about.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So obviously these people are thinking that he's a God, but that's just going to give an opportunity for him, his foot in the door, to actually show him who the true God is.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's what we want to do.
That's right.
I want God to use this situation so that he just opens more opportunities for us to get people saved.
Amen.
To preach the word of God, to be able to get more people saved, because here's the thing, they're blinded.
Yeah.
And you know what? All these people are doing is just giving me a bunch of publicity.
Amen.
We made national news.
Right. Yeah.
I put El Monte on the map. No one really knew about El Monte until Pastor Bruce Mejia, the hate preacher, came along. And now everyone knows about El Monte.
Amen. Right.
Now here's the thing, it's the goal would be that people would hear the message, and even if, let's say, they're saved, well, at least we get them a little closer to what we believe. Because here's the thing, they want to publicize this because they want people to be deterred from me, but normal people who want the truth are going to like what I'm saying.
Amen.
They're going to love what I'm saying. I've gotten hundreds of emails, hundreds of messages of people who are like, we stand behind you 100%. They're not even Baptist people. Baptist preacher, Baptist Christians, just regular people, they're like, we stand 100% behind you.
Amen.
And we don't know what God is doing necessarily.
Amen.
We don't know who God is specifically working on, you know, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and sometimes you got to break the vessel in order to get that treasure out.
Amen.
You understand? Go back to Acts 28. Look at verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after, look what it says, 3 months. I just want to put that out there, guys, just in case, right? Hey, if they can do this for 3 months, so can we, all right? After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. So what do we see here? We see that God had a different plan. Yeah, you got to go to Rome, but hold on a second. We're going to take a detour to this island so that you can heal people. The word of God can spread. The barbarians can hear the gospel. I'm sure he preached to them. He's there for 3 months.
Amen.
I'm sure a great work was being accomplished there.
Right.
Okay. And look, you know, they probably weren't planning to stay there for 3 months. And let me just say this. Hey, we need to be as flexible as possible during this time.
Amen.
Don't be the old IFB. Don't go old IFB on me right now, okay?
Right.
We're just like, no, we need our four walls and the carpet and, you know, those things are nice. But right now, obviously, it's not. We can't have it. Sorry. Like, you know, be flexible.
Amen.
Okay. And this hopefully this will help you to just appreciate church that much the more. And remember, the church is not the physical building, it's the people.
Amen. That's right.
But if you can make it through this, I'm telling you, you're going to come out strong. You're going to come out with, you know, passing with flying colors. It's going to be great. But just know this, like, for example, when Joseph was taken into Egypt, it's a lot of evil that was done into him.
Right.
A lot of betrayal.
Yeah.
A lot of conspiracy against him. And this took place for years on end. And then he realized God allowed this to happen to save much people alive.
Amen. Yeah.
So Joseph was able to see outside of the scope of his own trials and recognize this is for the greater good.
Amen.
Okay, for the greater good. I'm going to continue reading in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. He says, Paul says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This, by the way, I think of this, I'm like, this is our church right here. Because like we are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed because we're still laughing about it.
Yeah.
We're perplexed, like, these people are stupid. Like, what the heck is up with these mayors? Like, who gave you this job? But we're not in despair.
Amen.
Because I didn't vote for you. Persecuted, but not forsaken. So, yeah, there's people who want my head on a platter. They want to destroy my life. They want to destroy our church. But we're not forsaken because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Cast down. Yeah, you know, sometimes you get a little down. But not destroyed.
Amen.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Look what it says, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Amen.
For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us,
amen,
but life in you.
Amen.
So in order for us to bring life to people who do not have eternal life, we have to die sometimes.
Amen.
Death needs to be brought to us, our possessions, our conveniences, the things that we like, the things that we love, the comforts that we have, our reputation, whatever it is.
Yep.
Death needs to be brought in order for us to give life.
Amen.
You know what? So be it.
Yeah. Right.
Why not? Why live a life of just pleasing this world and being just this political Baptist where you're just pleasing both sides and you never have trials, you never have troubles? That's a lame life to live.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Give me death.
Amen.
Right.
So that by my death I can bring life to others.
Amen.
Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all.
Amen.
Paul's like, if God's willing to offer me and sacrifice me for the greater good, then so be it.
Amen.
I will rejoice and enjoy with you all. Okay. Look at verse 12, chapter 28. So look, you know, they had plans, but you know, God had other plans for him, and it worked out to his glory. People were healed. They had the word of God preached unto them, and then he ended up giving them another ship. I got another ship, and it was fine. And you know what? We're going to get another building.
Okay?
Don't ask me when, because I have no idea. But it's going to happen, because here's the thing is, we've been praying for a building.
Amen.
And you know what? If we ask God for an egg, will he give us a serpent? No.
Right.
No, he's not going to give us a scorpion if we ask for food. Amen. He's gonna give us what we desire, because we're praying according to his will.
Amen.
So I'm not worried if we're going to find a building or not. I believe God can provide. He can prepare a table before us, before our enemies.
Amen. That's right.
Look at verse 12. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched the compass and came to Rhegium, And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren. And we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So, you know, we never want to just like look at these stories and think, well, Paul's just so like hardcore. He's just so filled with the Spirit. He doesn't need encouragement. He could get bit by a viper and nothing's going to happen to him. He's a regular human being just like us.
Amen.
And you know what? Regular human beings get discouraged.
Right.
Regular human beings, men of God, need encouragement. They need someone to say, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Okay. And what does that do? That refreshes them. Okay.
Amen.
And you know what? Like, I'm really thankful for like my pastor friends.
Amen.
I got the best pastor friends in the world. Okay. Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Robinson, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Thompson. These men have been like, have gone over and above to like be there for me.
Amen.
You know, I mean, just not only just a phone call, but just publicly standing with me.
Amen.
Publicly defending me. Publicly defending our church.
Amen.
Not ashamed
Amen.
Of right. us. You know, because I'm sure there's Baptist pastors out there who feel for us and they're praying for us, but they're not going to give me a call.
Right.
They're not going to go on their sermon and say, we stand with First Works Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Mejia. No way.
Because yeah.
they don't want the persecution.
Yeah.
My pastor friends are like, bring it. We'll
Amen.
Take some of that persecution. Because here's the thing. My pastor friends and their churches, they're smart.
Amen.
They're thinking, we want to capitalize on these persecutions.
Yeah.
Capitalize on these rewards.
Right.
Because they know what's up. They know that there's reward. They know that I'm getting rewarded heavily. And they're like, hey, I'll fly. Okay, you guys remember when Bob Gray Jr. was just like, I'll fly out there, you know, if you ever need it. And then he backstabs me like the next day.
Yeah.
My pastor friends are completely different. They literally said, I'll fly out there. And I know they will.
Yeah.
Like, if you need a sweep, if you need to set a tent up or something like that, they're like, I will fly out there and help you out with that if that's what you need.
Amen.
Great pastor friends. And you know what? There's been times throughout the week where maybe I get a little cast down, a little discouraged, a little hopeless. And I promise you, okay, the instant that I feel that way, I always get a phone call from one of those guys.
Amen.
My phone rings like literally at that moment. And they're just like, praying for you. I love you. We're here for you. You guys are an inspiration to us. And then my spirits are lifted and I'm refreshed.
Amen.
You know. And so, you know, Paul, I'm sure he's feeling a little lonely here. You know, he's like putting in all this work. He's healing people. And he's tired. I mean, doing the work of the Lord is tiring sometimes.
Right. Amen.
You know, it's just like a roller coaster of events that's taking place here. But then he finds brethren. He finds brethren and in the three taverns, and he thanks God. And what does he do? He takes courage.
Yep.
You know?
Amen.
And by the way, that's why it's important. You come to church. You stay in contact with one another. We're going to have activities. Life goes on. We're still going to like serve God and have fellowship. Folks, this is not the end of our church.
Amen.
God's helping to build our church, actually,
Amen.
Is what he's doing, okay? But you need to, like, stick it out, stay in contact, don't isolate yourself. Obviously, this is not happening, but just, this is preventative, okay?
Amen.
Take courage,
Amen.
Right? Go to the prayer meeting, ladies, with, you know, at Miss Esther's house,
Amen.
Okay? You know, go come to the prayer meeting, men, with Brother Hike, okay?
Amen.
Let do those things so we can take courage and move forward, okay?
Right.
So he receives courage. And look, you see this throughout the Bible where Paul's spirit is refreshed by the coming of Titus, or Paul's spirit is refreshed by the coming of some brother in Christ. Why? Because sometimes a word fitly spoken in due season, how sweet it is.
Amen.
You know? Which, by the way, is important. That's why it's important to your spirit filled. Because you never know who's going through a hard time, and then like you just say something, and they're just like, wow, you just gave me life.
Amen.
You just said the right thing at the right time and encouraged them, etc. Look at verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, although I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. He's like, hey, I'm innocent, But for some reason, these people say I'm guilty. Yep. I'm actually the victim here, but they're trying to make me as though I'm the criminal here. I'm the one being delivered to Rome for something that I did not do.
Right.
Verse 18, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. If you remember, you know, the Jews of late sought to slay Paul and kill him because of the fact that he was reaching Gentiles. And, you know, he went before the Jews and he tried to, like, plead his cause and vindicate himself. If these are getting kind of warm, you guys can turn it down if you want. I see people are losing their eyebrows and stuff. So, he's trying to vindicate himself, and they ended up working against him. Because in the process of trying to vindicate himself, you know, as soon as he said that he was reaching the Gentiles, they're like, oh, no, this guy needs to die or whatever, you know. And so, you know, people are trying to kill him. And he's basically saying, like, I've done nothing amiss. Look at verse 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. He's like, they forced me in a position where I had to go to Caesar.
Right.
I had to come to Rome, not because I'm trying to accuse my own nation of anything wrong, but because of these people, they're trying to kill me. So in order to avoid death at the hands of these people, I appealed unto Caesar so I could come over here. Yeah. Okay. Verse 20 says, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. I like what he's saying here. You know, he's picking his words wisely. He's like, look, why am I here? Because of the hope of Israel. That's why. Because I'm preaching the word of God. And you know what? Any individual who's asked me, any magistrate, reporter who's asked me, why has this happened to you? I said, because I preach God's word. Or you're being a little deceitful there, because you're just preaching against the sodomites. That's preaching God's word.
Amen. That's right.
You can't preach God's word without going through Leviticus 20:13 and Romans chapter 1 and every other scripture about that.
Yeah.
You have to talk about those things.
Yep.
Okay? And that's part of preaching God's word, you know, just letting her rip and talking about the common sins of this world, not the common sins, but the common things, abominations of this world, and calling it out and exposing it for what it is, you know, and it needs to be preached on more.
Amen.
Because of the fact that so many pastors out there are so weenie, they're so scared, they don't want their nice building to get blown up, so they just, they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
But he's telling them, he's like, hey, I'm here because of the hope of Israel. I'm being bound because I'm preaching God's word. Look at verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. That's weird. He's like, we don't even know what you're talking about. No one said anything about you. Like, we haven't even heard anything about this. But look what it says in verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, here's the thing. Check this out. Paul is a pretty famous guy.
Amen.
I mean, he's turning the world upside down.
Right. Yep.
And in his camp, he's well known. But where in Rome, he's unknown.
Yeah.
So even though he's putting in work, he's doing a great job. And like, man, he's doing more work than all the apostles. He's traveled far further than any of the apostles. He's preached the word of God in further regions than any of the apostles. He's doing a great work. You know what? At the end of the day, all the people that, the only thing that people know about in Rome is the sect, the message, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Think about that. So what is that? What does that tell us? Well, this shows us that it's all about the Lord. Because here's the thing. Obviously, they know about the Lord because of Paul's labor.
Right?
He reached someone who reached someone who went to Thessalonica, from Thessalonica, went to Rome, because there are brethren in Rome.
Yeah.
There's saved people in Rome.
Amen.
So somehow the gospel spread to that region through someone's efforts. You understand?
Amen.
But here's the thing. No one knew who Paul was. They're like, we haven't even heard about this. What do you? We don't even know who you are. Like, we didn't get any letters from Judea. No one wants to kill you here. But, you know, regarding your message, though, we have heard of that. We have heard of this sect. We have heard of this message. You know why? Because God can care less about our reputation.
Amen.
He can care less about making us famous. He can care less about what people think about us. You know, we must decrease that he may increase.
Amen.
So who cares if anybody finds out who I am or our church is? We just care that people get the message.
Amen.
Now, hey, you know, when I was on InfoWars, I put a plug in for the new IFB.
Amen.
They had a timer on there, so I had to make sure I had to, like, breeze through the gospel. And I was like, number two, you know, I'm not the only church. There's new IFB churches. Find yourself. You put that plug in. Because if you're going to find out about a church, it's better to find out about a new IFB church.
Amen.
If you're going to join yourself to a congregation, new IFB is the way to go, obviously. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, people are just going to hear the message sometimes, and they're going to find out about Jesus, which is the most important thing.
Amen.
Okay. And they're like, hey, but tell us about this sect, though. Tell us about this group of people. Tell us about this belief, this religion, this, you know, this God. Tell us about that. We don't care about you. You know, whatever they were trying to do to you, that doesn't concern us. I want to know about the message.
Right.
Okay. So it's showing us that, you know what, we're just an instrument in God's hands.
Amen.
To just further the message even out there more and more.
Amen.
Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. So he's saying, look, we need to make sure we approve ourselves as the ministers of God. And not just pastors, all of you guys, Christians.
Amen.
Period. He said, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses.
Amen.
So you got to show yourself a Christian throughout these things.
Amen.
You got to approve yourself as a servant, as a minister of God in patience.
Amen.
So don't complain. Right? In afflictions, in necessities. We need things. Well, approve yourself as a minister of God in your necessities.
Amen. Right.
In your distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and fame, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. Approve yourself as a minister of God by honor and dishonor.
Amen.
Right? Look at this. By evil report and good report.
Amen.
So when people are giving an evil report about you, approve yourself as a minister of God.
Amen.
Don't back down. Don't kowtow.
Right.
Don't say, well, I didn't really mean that. It's just, you know, I didn't know that this church preached that doctrine. Like, standards? Like, yeah. That's what my pastor preaches.
Amen.
And I agree with them 100%.
Amen. Right.
As brother, as Ulysses Fernandez on the news said, you know, that's what God said. That's what God said. Hey. Amen.
Amen.
By evil report. So what is this telling us? We're going to get evil reports.
Yeah.
People are going to lie about us.
Yep.
People are going to slander us, lie about us, and just make up all manner of evil against us. Well, you know what? The Lord reward them according to their works.
Amen.
Approve yourself as a minister of God by evil reports and good reports as deceivers.
Yeah.
And yet true. He's like, when they want to say that we're lying and we're deceptive and we're deceivers and all these things, let them say whatever they want to say. Yeah. God knows that we're true.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
He says, as unknown, yet well known.
Amen.
Yeah, we're unknown, but we are well known to a certain extent now.
Amen.
As dying, and behold, we live.
Amen.
Right? Like, we're just dying, bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, but yet we're still alive. We're still living.
Amen.
As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing.
Amen.
So it's not bad to sorrow. You know, it's not bad to lament. But, you know, sometimes, because sometimes you have to do those things, but yet we're still rejoicing.
Amen.
As poor, yet making many rich.
Amen.
Yeah, we lost our building. We lost all these things. Like, we're just kind of wandering about sheepskins and, you know, whatever, and dens and caves and stuff. But you know what? Through that, we're making a lot of people rich, though. Because we're preaching the gospel. We're getting them saved. They get eternal life.
Amen.
So through our poverty, many are being made rich through that.
Right.
It's worth it. As having nothing and yet possessing all things.
Amen.
Ain't that awesome? We got rid of you, you have your building and all this. Yeah, but here's the thing. We possess all things, though.
Amen.
Did you know that the kingdom of God is for us?
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Those who are persecuted, he says, the kingdom of God is for them.
Amen.
I don't care about this real estate here.
Amen.
I don't care about the buildings here. The kingdom of God is mine. God says, this is yours. Your name's on it. This is for you. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So once this all came about, you know what it confirms? Man, I mean, I knew I was going to heaven because I'm saved, but I'm thankful that God says the kingdom of heaven, that's like for you.
Amen.
Has your name. Your name is on the lease, and it's not going to be leased out. It's just going to be yours.
Amen.
So having nothing yet possessing all things.
Amen.
Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It all happens for a reason.
Amen.
And obviously I'm preaching to myself. Because you know, you get thoughts sometimes. You kind of wonder. You kind of doubt sometimes. And you're just like, man, what's going on? But then, you know, you realize the reality of the eternal rewards. You realize the reality of the eternal impact that you're going to make.
Amen.
And then you think to yourself, screw all this. Take whatever you want.
Amen.
Take it all. As long as I get rewarded, everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
But there's always a price to pay. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything.
Amen.
I take this as like the church that started our church.
Amen.
Saying, you know, your faith is spread abroad.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, people are going to be inspired by our church.
Amen.
People are going to get inspired by the preaching, by the trial. You know, the that which they mean for evil in those news clips, it's going to inspire someone.
Amen.
It's going to inspire someone in our faith. That faith is going to spread abroad. But look, folks, this is the price we pay for that.
Amen.
There's always a price to pay. You just have to be willing to pay it.
Amen.
And here's the thing. God's going to make you pay no matter what, but you don't want to lose your reward, so don't quit.
Amen.
So if he's already paid the tab, just roll with it. Might as well just roll with it. He's like, yeah, you're just going to... And look, folks, and God is a God who answers prayer.
Amen.
Because we're praying, Lord, don't let them do that freak show on Sunday. And, you know, just send the rain. Don't let them do it. And God's like, I got a better idea. I'll just blow up your church. And that way, they won't show up. And the message gets spread even more.
Amen.
And then people are going to get saved. It's going to be great. And we're just like, oh, dang. All right. You know, like, yeah. And then the church gets blown up. And it's just like, you already did it. So, you know, we can't really fight against that. Like, just roll with it.
Yeah.
Might as well just roll with it.
Amen.
Go back to Acts 28. Look at verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So what do we see here? We see that this is just the common response in all places, right? Because he's in Rome, is like, this is what happened in Jerusalem. This is what happened in Thessalonica. This is what happened in Athens. This is what happened in Asia. Yeah. You know, anytime you preach the word of God, some will believe and some won't.
Right.
And you know what the message that's going abroad right now? Some people are going to accept it and some people will not.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yeah.
And you have an amazing preacher like the Apostle Paul who's preaching the word of God. And even then, there's still some people who don't believe.
Right.
Because that's just the nature of the beast. Look at verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So what do we see here? We see that the curse isn't subject to one timeline or geographical location.
Right.
Because this was said of Israel.
Yeah.
But he's in Rome.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I guess the Bible is true even in Rome. There's people who are just going to reject the message no matter what. And you know what? The reason I say it's not subject to one geographical location or timeline is because we're in 2021 and people are still doing that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Well, if we were in the days of our fathers.
Nope.
Folks, a reprobate is a reprobate.
Yeah.
An open person is going to be open to the gospel. Someone who's close to the gospel is going to be close to the gospel. Doesn't matter what timeline, what part of the timeline you're in the history of mankind.
Right.
The nature of man is still the nature of man. That's how it's always going to be.
Amen.
And so think it not strange when we see all these wicked individuals, these reprobates, these children of Satan doing what they're doing. They've done this for thousands of years.
Yeah, right.
It's the same hatred because they're possessed by the same devil.
Yep.
They have the same agenda. The curse isn't subject to one timeline or geographical location. And that's what Paul understood. He's like, wow, even at Rome. And it's just like a wake-up call for the Apostle Paul. He's like, yeah, Rome. That's where you're going to write Romans 1. Because he's going to see this fleshed out even more, right? When he had said these things, verse 29, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And then verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
Amen.
So this is like the end of his life right here. And we see that further detailed in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I believe this is where he basically spent the rest of his life.
Amen.
You know, and did he have a great building or a great congregation to meet in? Not necessarily, but you know what? He was able to preach the word of God to his very last breath.
Amen.
No man forbidding him.
Amen.
And you know what this whole trial does for us? It helps us to realize how important preaching really is.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It helps us to realize how powerful preaching really is.
Amen.
Why? Well, because they're trying to kick yours truly out of El Monte. Not because I'm like a physical threat to anybody, but because my preaching is a threat.
Amen.
And they know the power in the preaching.
Amen.
They know what the word of God can actually do.
Amen.
That's why all the forces of darkness, all the forces of evil and Satan are trying to stop us, because they know how powerful the word of God really is.
Amen.
They know how powerful it is to save an individual, and they know how powerful it is to reform the mind of an individual to see it the biblical way.
Amen.
Because the word of God has power.
Right.
That's why they're trying to manipulate and gaslight the narrative.
Yeah.
To make me look like the enemy, because of the fact that they want me out.
Yeah.
They want me to go to Rome. They want me to go somewhere else. But here's the thing. My preaching is going to stay.
Amen.
If I leave El Monte, if we leave El Monte, too late, suckas. We were already there for 3 years.
Amen.
We've been plowing that field for 3 years.
Yep.
We've been getting people saved there for 3 years. Our preaching's there.
Yep.
Our converts are there.
Amen.
We've already changed their minds.
Amen.
It's already done. And here's the thing. If you move my location, you think there's like some sort of force field around El Monte where I'm just like, I can't enter in anymore. Like, what is this? How can you, you know? They literally think like moving me out of El Monte is going to solve their problem. Folks, move me to wherever you want to move me to, I can just come back. Like, preach. I can send an army of soul winners to just saturate El Monte again.
Amen.
There's no stopping it.
Amen.
No man will forbid us.
Amen.
They'll try to stop us, but no man can forbid us. Why? Because God has given us the commandment to do so.
Amen.
You know what? If God commands us to do so, no one can stop us.
Amen. Right.
Yeah, but we'll take your life. But you know, yeah, but if you take my life, someone else is going to take my place.
That's right.
Someone else, you think I'm the only one who thinks like me in my church? There's a group of men in our church who can preach just as hard, if not harder than me, who, if they take me out of the picture, one of the other guys will just take over and just keep preaching hard. And if you take him out, someone else will take their place. Look, folks, our church, you know, has ladies in it, but there's a bunch of men.
Amen.
Hardcore men that are just like their pastor.
Amen.
So, yeah, you take me out of the picture, that's fine. I spent 3 years training a bunch of guys. They're just like me.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to stop us.
Amen. Right.
No man can forbid us.
Right.
Okay? So Paul finishes life. He finishes his life here. And I believe that, you know, they don't behead him like, you know, they often talk about in the historical things. Like, yeah, the Romans beheaded him. Why would they behead him? He didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
There'd be no reason to behead Paul, for the Romans to behead Paul. If they weren't willing to kill him when he was in Jerusalem, why would they want to do so? Because they could care less about the Jewish customs.
Amen.
Right? They're probably like, well, just let him stay here. He's not hurting anybody. Just let him, give him his own house and let him preach or talk about his little superstitious beliefs that he has. You know, joke's on them.
Amen.
Joke's on the people who wanted him dead, because now he's just able to just like chill out. And now he doesn't go anywhere, but people come to him and he preaches the word of God unto them. So what do we learn from the book of Acts? Well, one thing is that it's very relevant to today.
Amen.
We're living out the book of Acts right now.
That's right.
We are living out the book of Acts. It's there. But we see that, you know what? We need to be like the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Because I don't hear Peter being mentioned here at the end.
Yep.
You don't hear John being mentioned. You don't hear any of the apostles being mentioned here. The story literally finishes with Paul.
Right.
And his exploits and the things that he does. That's not by accident.
Amen.
But you know what? Paul paid the price, though.
Amen.
Didn't he pay a price to be in the limelight? He paid a heavy price.
Right.
He paid the persecution, the afflictions. But you know what? I guarantee you he's in heaven today, and he just doesn't regret any of it.
Amen.
He's like, I'm glad I went through all that. Because it pales in comparison to the reward that he received. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you get discouraged during this time in the months to come, just know that whatever you go through pales in comparison to the reward you're going to receive if you just endure all this.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the book of Acts. What an exciting book. Such an adventurous book. And thank you for the Apostle Paul, Lord, and all the work that you did through him and how you used him, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us to learn from him, learn from the principles that we studied here in the book of Acts. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless our church. I pray that the message would ring forth so much further because of everything that's going on. We do pray for a building, Lord. Obviously, it'd be nice to have a building, but we're not going to put a deadline to it. We will continue to look and search and pray and meet and just wait upon the Lord. That's all we can do. And until then, Lord, please continue to bless us. I pray that you would bless the people that we're going to speak to on a weekly basis as we preach the word of God. And I just pray that you'd use this circumstance for your honor and for your glory. And we know that all things work together for good to them to love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And though they mean it for evil, we know that when it comes to the Christian who's serving you, you mean it unto good. And I pray, God, that you bless us as we go on our way. We love you so much and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.